Okay, so my name is Annalise Finney. I am here today with Susie Kim. We're doing an interview for the Education Narratives Oral History Project. Today is July 12th, 2022. It's early in the morning for me. I'm on the West Coast in Oakland, California. It's around 9 a.m. and Susie can let you know where she is.
Hi, so I'm actually Susie Miranda now. There's been a change. I am in Philmont, New York. I teach first and second grade at Robert C. Parker. It's a progressive pre-K through 8 in East Greenbush, a little bit outside of Albany.
Okay, so just to get started, I want to think a little bit about these last 2 years. So we're coming up on around 2 years in COVID. And I wonder if you can tell me, you know, what the regulations are around COVID safety where you're living.
Okay, so at my school, because it was such a small private school, it was easier to manage and regulate any like COVID regulations that we had. And in the beginning of the school year this past year, we made the decision to actually start off in masks indoors and outdoors, whereas in the state of New York, it was not required for you to do so. So we definitely erred on the side of caution from the beginning. And we were really fortunate where we had a daily screening form that the parents had to fill out. And if they did exhibit any symptoms, they would have to have a COVID test to be able to come to school. And so I would say that like for our school, it was definitely not like stricter, but I guess compared to what the public schools were like, it was a lot stricter. It wasn't until the students were able to get vaccinated that we made masks optional for the families and students. And our school was actually one of the first schools where we held a vaccine clinic for the children. So we were very fortunate with having a lot of our students get vaccinated as well and feeling really proud about it, which was really amazing.
Yeah. What was your role in talking with students about vaccines?
My role was to kind of just listen and understand everything that they were processing. I mean, all of my students, what the vaccine meant for them was like, you know, they really was like, okay, once we get the vaccine, it's done. Masks off, everything is good. It's like, okay, let's take it slow from there. And there's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of excitement. It was just a bag of mixed feelings from everyone. So I just tried to listen and kind of like also monitor any emotions that might develop of like, are you vaccinated? I'm not vaccinated. You know, that kind of started developing as well. And just talking about your choice and how it's your choice, right? And it's sometimes it's not your choice, it's your parents' choice. And just kind of really, it was a new experience for sure. Same with like wearing a mask. Like, you know, you don't have to wear a mask. It's like, it's their choice. It's not your job to tell someone what to do or what not to do. It's very interesting because in my 10 years of teaching, I've never really had to do something like this. And it's not something you could Google, like what conversations to have about proper mask wearing and vaccinations. And so, so for me, it was just really, it was new for me as well. And just really just listening and easing any anxiety of whatever to be helpful to whatever each child was going through.
Yeah. You mentioned that many students did get vaccinated. For students who didn't, what was kind of the protocol around precautions they were expected to take if they didn't get vaccinated?
So the main thing is that if your child wasn't vaccinated and they were exhibiting any COVID symptoms, they would have to quarantine at home. I think at the end, it was about like 5 days until, or if they were exposed, that you had to quarantine.
Okay, that makes sense. You said that you're on summer break before the recording started. At the very end of the year, what did kind of daily mask wearing look like at your school?
So I'm trying to remember. So I had a class of 20 students of first and second graders. And I would say that at the end, I maybe had 5 to 6 students who still continued to wear a mask. Most of them being vaccinated as well, but because they had a younger sibling, they wanted to continue to wear a mask. And some, I'd say like 2 to 3 of them, it was just their parents said, you don't have to wear a mask, but they still chose to wear a mask. And I wore a mask off and on, just so that for the students who were wearing a mask, I didn't want them to feel like they were the only ones. So I kind of just did like a back and forth thing of like not being consistent with wearing one or not wearing one. And also just because I didn't want to get sick in the last weeks of school, because we had a huge poetry reading and everything. But majority of the students had their masks off, I would say.
When you were kind of on and off with your mask, what would determine when you would wear it or when you wouldn't wear it?
Most, it was like proximity among students. Like if I was doing like a whole class instruction, I might take it off just because it's a lot easier to do this. Spelling tests, I take my mask off. If we were outdoors, I would take my mask off. And a lot of the children, most of them were allowed to do that as well, but still chose to wear their mask. And another thing, a big factor, was heat. That was really hot.
Yeah, that makes sense. And now that it's summer and you're not interacting with your students on a regular basis, although if you are, correct me, what kind of precautions do you find yourself wanting to take in your life or not wanting to take?
So right now, I have not been wearing a mask. I mean, what my interaction is, not, I'm not interacting with any students right now. And the adult friends that I do interact with are vaccinated. And because it's so nice, has been a lot of outdoor experiences and hangouts. Just last week, I had to go to the hospital just to get blood work done. And it was the first time that I was like, oh, I need to wear a mask. Yeah, so I had to like pull out of my glove compartment. I was like, all right. It was this weird, like, oh, I forgot that this is happening. But also, you know, I'm really fortunate where I live in a very small town and I have this luxury to be able to do so, to distance and have all these outdoor spaces.
Where are you looking to these days to understand kind of case rates in your community?
I look at the New Yorker for the tracking, or is it the New York Times?
And they have it by county, or what does that look like for somebody who maybe has
this? It is by county, and I'm in the Columbia County, and I'm always looking at my school county as well, which is like the Rensselaer County, just not that I'm up there. I actually live like 40 minutes away from my school, so it's kind of a commute for me. And so my area is definitely not as populated as it is up there.
What was the end of this school year like for you?
The end of this school year, it was really, you know, like looking back on it, it's like, oh, it was so great, it was so sweet, but I'm like, no, it was really stressful. Like, it was a lot. My teachers and I, like, or my coworkers, kind of joked about how, like, once the masks came off for some students, it was like this new energy or these new things that these students were doing that was kind of like it took us back a little bit because their energy was just so much higher. And I think it was like adapting to these interactions of what was before like hidden behind a mask.
Yeah. What's an example of a change that you saw in a student?
So before, I don't know if this happened in other classrooms as well, but I remember when we were in masks in the winter, I would just kind of be like, the kids would be doing their work and I would just hear somebody like whistling or making animal sounds. And I would just have to be like, I'd have to stop and be like, can whoever's growling, please stop. And I'm just like kind of walking around the classroom trying to figure out who it is, but they're all in masks and I have no idea. And I'm just like, okay, like, I can't believe I have to say this, or please stop meowing. And it was just very strange. And then like afterwards, once the mask came up, whether it was like their own personal like nervous tick or not, I could be like, hey, you cannot make animal sounds in class. Like, let's save it for recess. And it's like, okay, it was you. I could have probably guessed, but I just didn't know. Some of the things that I was noticing, like between interactions between students, like if it was not so positive of like giving someone like the side eye or like whispering under their breath something mean, like I was able to catch it. And I was just like, I don't know if this has been happening this whole time. And I just didn't realize it because if I can't see your mouth moving, it doesn't seem like you're making a sound. But I just noticed like little behaviors like that of like more sneakiness, I guess.
Yeah. One thing I've been thinking about is as we kind of move into this different phase of the pandemic, are there strategies that you kind of built up to teach in the environment that involved masks and all of these precautions that you're wanting to carry forward? That maybe are not as relevant now, but were things that were helpful that you learned that you're like, okay, well, maybe this can continue.
Yeah. I definitely appreciated the cleanliness aspect of it all, where it was like more hand washing, which I think is always helpful for anything, you know, just having that reminder. That was really good. I mean, one thing, what I'm trying to think about what we implemented due to COVID. I mean, a lot of it, it's hard to see like the positives, unfortunately. But I don't know. I'll think about that one. I think it might come to me.
Is there anything that stands out to you as something that you're really happy to not have to do anymore, like to let go of?
Yes. Monitoring how close someone is or touching. You know, like they had to eat. Anytime they had their mask off, they would have to be 6 feet apart, you know? So like they're 6 and 7 years old, and when they get excited about a story, they want to like get in your face, and it's like, whoa, back up, give their space mask, they're off. And I really hated being that person telling someone not to touch someone or to step away from someone or to just be like, all right, mask over your nose. Having to regulate that, like that took up most of my energy that I did not enjoy doing, and I really hated it. And when somebody would get sick, I was like, oh, is it because maybe it was that one day when they were like standing in line and I saw them like touch hands, or you know, they were standing a little too close, and it just really was terrible. And I hated all of that. Like it just was really, yeah, it was just really hard to monitor, because even with that, I was not affectionate in that way. Like it was like a pat on the back. It didn't happen. Like I made sure my hands were like always either like I was either holding my hands together or they were by my side. It was just very like different, you know, I'm like, good job. And like air fives, like, ugh. That was really hard. You know, they're really young and sometimes they just want to give you a hug and you're like, air hug, and you feel terrible.
When you think back on yourself over this time, either in school or sort of in your life outside of school, what changes have you seen?
I definitely feel like I am more on the cautious side. So before I was at this school at Robert C. Parker, I taught a homeschool pod of 6 students where I had 2 students who were immunocompromised, and we had very strict, like a social contract actually. And we weren't allowed to like go inside people's homes and lots of rules like that. And so not being tied to like any contracts like that, and kind of just being able to do what my husband and I want to do, I'm still seeing us erring on the side of caution, which is something I didn't really expect. Like, okay. But I think it's good that like those habits carried on, which is, you know, knock on wood, I haven't had COVID. And so same with him. Just, I guess, my own social activities have been more on the homebody side. And being really cautious, like if I'm not feeling well or he's not feeling well, just like literally just like staying home and taking a COVID test and really not wanting to get anybody else sick, or whether it be COVID or not, 100% of the times it's just been allergies, but we've canceled many hangouts because of it.
What's an example of a time where there's something that you were excited to do that for precautionary reasons you decided not to do?
Just last Sunday, we were gonna go swimming at our friend's house at their pool, and we haven't seen them since March, and we were really excited to go see them, and my husband wasn't feeling well, and so I was just like, okay, let's, you know, you're not feeling well, whether it's COVID or not, let's do the COVID test, and we're just going to err on the side of caution and not go, because even if the test is negative, it could be depending on the day, like it was, so we ended up canceling and postponing it for a later date, hopefully not like another 3 months. That was really sad because it was really hot too. We really wanted to go swimming.
How did your friends respond to that change?
They were completely understanding and I think appreciative that, you know, we were being cautious.
Do you feel like your community is responding kind of with a similar caution to you, or do they have a different level of precaution that you see them taking?
With my friends, yes. In my neighborhood, no. I am surrounded by like anti-vaxxers and like people who think COVID is nothing. So it's very interesting, but you know, they're just people I see while I'm walking my dog. So
what are your interactions with them feel like?
It's very, I try to minimize my interactions with them. So I'm just very like, hi, how are you? And then try to like keep walking because I don't really want to engage in an argument or a debate with them of what their take on that is. I mean, even during the height of it, you know, they refused to wear a mask and just really considered it to be a joke and something that the government just created. And it was just it's just too much. So I try to limit my interactions with them.
When you think about your time these days and how you spend it, what are you wanting to do with yourself?
I am wanting to travel, and that's really hard right now. My parents are in Korea, and they actually want us to come visit. And it's been this really internal struggle to like book the tickets and just to like make that move, because it's a really long flight. I don't like wearing a mask for all those like hours, seems really hard. I worry about us getting COVID when we arrive or when we're planning on returning. And it's just giving me a lot of anxiety that I just didn't think I'd have, but I do. And it's a real thing, you know? And ticket prices are also really expensive right now. It's like, I think it said it was like 30% higher than usual from all the air travel. So that's one of the things.
When was the last time you saw your parents?
I actually saw them in December. They came for our wedding. We had a little COVID wedding.
What was COVID about it?
Well, originally we were going to get married up here, and we had like a guest list of like almost 150 people. And then we had to cancel. And then it just kind of kept getting like pushed back, because I was like, I don't even want to plan anything anymore because of like, who knows what's going to happen. So finally last winter break, we just kind of decided to go back to Arizona, where we're both from, and have this really small family wedding. And we got married at this beautiful like art gallery called the DeGrazia Gallery. And we could only have 21 people inside, including myself and my husband. So we were forced to kind of like really narrow down our guest list. So, and yeah, it was very, very, it was different from what we had ever expected or planned, but it turned out to be really magical and amazing in its own way, which was really cool. So my parents they flew for that, which was really nice.
That makes sense. That sounds lovely.
Thanks.
With this time this summer, what have you kind of been wanting to do? What have you been spending your time on other than traveling? It sounds like that's kind of a complicated.
Yeah. I really have not been doing much. I actually just finished a 1,000-piece puzzle of like the United States of America, where you put, it's all in black and white. And then once you're done, you can color it. So that's kind of been my summer project. I can show you really quickly.
Whoa, so you're showing me on your phone a picture of the map. So you finished the map already, and that's all colored pencils above it for coloring in?
Markers, yeah. And so it took like a month and a half so far, but we just finished it today, which I'm super excited about. So now I'm on to the coloring. So my summer has been pretty chill. Not much happening.
Is that typically how you like to spend your summer breaks, or is there something different about this summer?
So last summer, after I was done with the pandemic pod or the pod homeschool group, I think I just ended up like decompressing the whole summer. I didn't do anything. I didn't like leave the house at all. I was just like home. I can't tell you what I did. I didn't do anything. This summer feels like the first kind of real summer vacation. And then before then, in years past, I've always had to work over the summer. So I would teach at this art camp. I've done that 2 years in a row before. And so this is actually kind of just like the first summer where I feel really relaxed and doing fun projects like that and kind of motivated to do that. I've been trying to like exercise. I've been doing like daily yoga videos on YouTube, which is like very new. So yeah, this is like the first kind of real summer vacation I'm ever having, which is really nice.
I know when in your previous interview in October, so a while ago at this point, you mentioned that you had considered at one point leaving teaching, I think kind of after the pandemic pod that you're working with. How are you feeling about your teaching profession now?
I feel really great because before when I was like the whole team, but I was like a one person team and I had to play every single role. Difficult because I had never played any of those roles before. And now where I'm at, where I have so much support, it feels really amazing because I just have to focus on teaching, which is what I enjoy doing. So it feels really good.
That's awesome. When you look back on these last 2 years and kind of like your teaching, like the changes and challenges you've had through that time, I'm just getting a notification that we're going to run out of my Zoom limit here in about 10 minutes. So what I'd like to do is keep talking. I'll let you know when we have about 2 minutes left, and then I will sign off and I'll send you a new link. Is that all right?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, cool. That'll be our plan. But what I was going to say is when you look back on these 2 years, is there anything that you would want to say to yourself in March of 2020, knowing what you know now?
Oh my goodness. I guess what I would say just to like kind of remind myself would be to just something that I always try to focus on, but it's like, it can be easily forgotten. It's just really like focus on the children, I think, and everything else will just be what it is, but really just focusing on them.
What about your time has led you to that being what you wish you had known or what you would want to tell yourself?
Because I think there was a lot of times when I was feeling stressed and maybe upset that like it would just kind of put me in a bad mood, you know, and it wouldn't be a very enjoyable lesson, maybe get easily frustrated, feeling a little impatient. And, you know, I feel bad about those moments because they're just like, there, I'm getting a little teary.
Okay. Yeah. Have you had kind of during that time venues to talk about your experience? What places have you found that have been available to you?
Luckily, like I have a lot of friends that are teachers, and a lot of so before I was at another school. Another private school, and then the school actually shut down from COVID and moved on to virtual learning only. And so my former co-workers, they actually ended up doing their own like homeschool pod as well. So it was really great to like share our experiences and compare. That was really, and I'm still in good contact with them too. So
yeah. What have you learned from your interactions with them?
Just how different our experiences were. And it really just had to do with who we are as people and where we stood. It's really interesting, actually. So one of the teachers that had this like pause, she's, you know, has been teaching for over like 30 years. And so when she did her like homeschool pod, it was fair. And she had experience in like administration roles and everything like that, and finances. And she ran her own school. So she was able to just be like, this is how it is, take it or leave it. And everyone was like, oh no, this is great, this is great. And for me, my personality was like, is that okay with you guys? Does this work? And in the end, that was very challenging. That was something I brought upon myself, I think.
Why was that challenging?
Because in the pod, there were like 5 different families, and I really wanted to say yes to all of them, you know? But depending on what the situation was, you can't please everyone. And that was kind of a new concept for me. And I felt bad about not being able to do that, or, you know, siding with one or the other. It was just a new, I think I definitely grew a lot as a person from that experience. And I learned a lot of lessons and learned a lot about myself, which is really good. But it was definitely challenging to be in that position as well.
Okay, we have this countdown clock in the corner is making me nervous. Left. I think we should sign up here. I'll send you a new link to your email and we can just hop on there, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
See you soon.
All right, sounds good.